إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our seventh session dealing with the book Ta'zeem as-Salat. Ta'zeem as-Salat, that is the great importance, yani recognizing, acknowledging the great importance of Salat and its lofty station or status in the life of a Muslim. This book is written by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll be dealing with chapter 8, this is the 8th chapter, and it contains 3 important advices from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before we deal with these 3 advices, we want to review quickly, as we normally do, some of the important points that we covered in the class last week, in the 6th session, the questions from study guide number 6, lecture number 6. So if anybody has written the answers to those questions or has searched for the answers, then please help us to quickly go through this review. The first question mentioned the most beloved gift that will be given to the people in Jannah, yani from the hadith of Suhaib radiallahu anhu. Naam. I just mentioned, right, we'll come to the hadith inshallah. We just want to know what is the most important, the most beloved thing that the people in Jannah will be given. What is it? What is it? Huh? Ru'yatullah. Naam. Ru'yatullah. Yani, the most beloved thing that the people of Jannah will be given is that they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they will see Allah. Naam. The second question, mention 2 of the greatest achievements a Muslim must strive for that will be achieved by the people of Jannah. 2 of the most important achievements that a Muslim in this world should be striving to achieve in the next life. Now,
to be entered into the Jannah and be saved from the fire.
To be admitted into the Jannah and along with that to be saved from the hellfire. To be admitted into Jannah without being punished in the hellfire. These 2 things. Admittance into the Jannah and to be saved, rescued from the hellfire. And this is something that we mentioned from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah 185th ayat. Does anybody remember the ayat that we mentioned concerning these 2 matters? In the ayat, Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Anybody remember this ayat? These 2 things are mentioned in this ayat. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَوَدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعَ الْغُرُورِ. طيب. Pass it up here. Now, whoever is removed, distance far from the hellfire and admitted into the Jannah, this person has indeed achieved success. وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And the life of this world is no more than pleasures of deception. All of it, the life of this world is no more than pleasures of deception. But the real goal is what? To be removed, to be distanced from the hellfire and admitted into the paradise. Now, question number three, memorize. Memorize the hadith of Suhaib radiallahu anhu, reported in Sahih Muslim, from which the first two answers are derived. Memorize. Who memorized this hadith? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5? Tayyib. Now, Fadl.
عن سهيب رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا دخل أهل الجنة الجنة قال الله قال يقول الله تبارك وتعالى إذا
تريدون شيئا
أزيدكم فيقولون ألم تبين وجوهنا ألم تدخلنا الجنة وتنجينا من النار
قال فيكشف
الحجاب قال فيكشف الحجاب
وما أعطوا شيئا take your time
أعطوا شيئا حب إليهم من النظر إلى ربهم
Azza wa Jalla. Jazakallah khair. This is a very important hadith. Very important hadith. You know, it is worthy of our attention to read it carefully, reflect upon it, and understand what it contains. That when the people of Jannah will enter the Jannah, when they have entered the Jannah, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will say, Turiduna shay'an azidukum? Do you want anything that I can give you extra, azidukum, ziyada? They will say, haven't you already whitened and brightened our faces and admitted us into the paradise and saved us from the hellfire? But what can we want? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that point, will remove the hijab. Yani the hijab of nur, covering his face. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they would not have been given anything, ahabba ilayhim minan nadari, إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And at that point, that being given that, they would not have been given anything before that in the Jannah. There was nothing that they were given that was more beloved to them than the seeing, the looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another? إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ. Looking at their Rabb, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So this is very important, and there are many Muslims. And I had some discussion recently with some brothers, and that we were having a little discussion, they were having a difference, and it was going back and forth. I was getting a little frustrated, because these brothers, some of them were saying they don't believe that there's any proof that the people will see Allah in the Jannah. I mean, it's clear. The hadith is clear, and the other hadith, the ayats are clear. Subhanallah. But this is to show you that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the tawfiq to understand this deen properly and to have the correct aqidah, this is a ni'mah azimah. Because many people are Muslims, they don't have the correct aqidah. Allah has stated this clearly in His book, and the Prophet clarified it clearly in the sunnah. And in spite of that, some people, they have a problem. And in the end of that hadith, does anybody remember the end of the hadith as was reported in the second narration of Imam Muslim? There are two narrations, Sahih Muslim, back to back, with the same number. They are numbered as one hadith, two isnads. One of the second isnads is from Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah. Naam. Anybody, you remember what he said?
The ayah.
ثم تلا هذه الآية.
للذين أحسن الحسنى والزيادة.
Naam. للذين أحسنوا الحسنى والزيادة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, after he mentioned this, that the people will be given the reward of seeing their Rabb, then he mentioned this ayat, that this ayat is a confirmation of this from the Quran, that Allah said, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى. For those who do ihsan in the worship of their Lord and kindness to His creatures, they will have al-husna al-jannah wa-ziyada. What is the ziyada? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in that hadith, تُرِيدُونَ شَيْءٍ أَزِيدُكُمْ. Is there something that I will give you extra? أَزِيدُكُمْ. Now the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah said that the people who do good, they will be given al-husna wa-ziyada. Wa-ziyada, seeing the face of their Rabb, يَوْمَ قِيَامَةً, in the Jannah. May Allah grant us to be of those who will see His face in Jannah. Tayyib, the fourth question, memorize a supplication which entails asking Allah to grant you the two things mentioned in question number two. A supplication that every one of us need to memorize. And we need to recite this supplication, knowing its meaning, reflecting upon it, believing in it, having certainty of it, and asking from our heart that Allah grant us. Abdullah. Again? Tayyib. Rabbi as'aluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min al-nar. Where did you get the hadith from? From the book? No. From a different narration? In any case, the narration that we are familiar with, that the Shaykh mentioned, I mean, that is more, that we are, it's in the Fortress of Muslim. Any hadith, supplication number 61, it says, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min al-nar. But in any case, Allahumma Rabbi, yani the meaning is the same. But that's how we found the supplication. It could be another narration. Allahu a'lam. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min al-nar. And that supplication came twice in the Fortress of Muslims. Supplication number 61 and supplication number 64. And supplication 64, except 64 has a longer narration that we learned some time back when we were doing al-iman bil-qadr. We did iman bil-qadr. And we memorized it back then. And probably we have forgotten it by now. Now, tayyib. So this is a supplication worthy of remembering. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa'udhu bika min al-nar. Oh Allah, I ask you for the paradise and I seek refuge in you from the hellfire. Now, question number 5. Mention an evidence from the Quran which clearly proves that the believers will see Allah in the Akhirah. Now, Ibrahim. What is the meaning? Where is it from? Surah Al-Qiyamah, 75th Surah,
verse 22
and 23, to the end of the ayat. Now,
faces that day will be happy, right?
Some faces on that day, two groups of people. One group of them, their faces will be bright, shining, radiant, happy. Now, and they will be looking at their Rabb. Nadira, looking at their Rabb. Naam. That's a clear proof right there. Face of the day will be bright, shining, radiant, happy. Ila Rabbiha Nadira. Looking, yanzur, looking at their Rabb. Naam. This is clear. Question number 6. Explain the connection between the performing of Salat and the Ru'ya, seeing of Allah in the ayat, in these ayat, yani in Surah Al-Qiyamah, ayat 22-32. What is the connection between performing Salat and seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, Salih.
Now, in the ayat, Allah said about the people who their faces will not be radiant.
In those ayat that follow, Allah mentions the second group of people. Their faces will not be radiant, their faces will be basira, dark, gloomy, sad. The opposite. Naam.
He said that the reason is that they didn't wala saddaqa wala salla.
And from amongst their actions that Allah mentions about those people whose faces will be dark and gloomy and sad, who would not be looking at their Rabb, is what? Fala saddaqa wala salla. They didn't believe in Allah and they didn't make salah. Walakin kadhaba wa tawalla. But they denied the truth. And they turned away. They didn't believe and they didn't do good deeds. Naam. So what's the point?
The point is that in order for you to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to believe in some of the actions we have to do is have to believe and perform the salah.
Okay, we have to believe and we have to perform salah. Or as the Shaykh said it, the way he explained it, like more specifically, but that's the meaning of it. Is that the second group of people whose faces would be dark and gloomy and sad, who would not see their Rabb, from their actions was their failure to perform Salat. This makes us to know that the first group of people whose faces would be bright and shiny and radiant and happy, who would be looking at their Rabb, is because they were the people who were making Salat. Because they were the people who were making Salat. These people were denied because they didn't make Salat. And these people were given this gift and this favor and this blessing because they were from the people of Salat. From the people of Salat. So this is very important, and this is something for us to think about. Every time we have to perform salah, Just remember that this salah may be the means of you seeing your Rabb. Because the people who are not the Ahlul Salah, they will not see the Rabb. This should be a motivation for us to be into our salah, to be yani more careful, to be more observant, yani to value it more, to attach more attention to it and importance to it. Question number 7. Mention an evidence from the Sunnah which clearly states that the believers will see Allah in the Akhirah. From the Sunnah. Naam. Adam. كَمَا تَرَوْنَا نعم. Anybody remember the second half of the hadith?
فإن استطعتم لا تغلبوا على صلاة قبل طلوع الشمس وقبل غروبها.
نعم.
ففعلوا.
Okay, what is the meaning of this? The first part?
You indeed see your Lord as you see this full moon.
You will indeed see your Lord as you see the full moon. Yani it was they were sitting with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم Laylatul Badr, when the moon was full. And the Prophet nadhara ila al-qamr, and then he said this to them, what he recited here. He looked at the moon, he said, indeed, definitely you will see your Rabb just as you see this moon, full moon, in the middle of the month, in the darkness of the night. In the same way you see him without having any difficulty in seeing. Naam. You will see him surely. And then he said after that, meaning?
And if you are able to not let anything come in the way of the prayer of the Tulu'i Shams before the rising of the
sun,
Fajr, of the Gurubiha, the Asr,
Naam.
Then do so.
And whoever is able to not allow anything overcome you and prevent you from a salat that is before the rising of the sun, that is the Fajr prayer, and a salat that is before setting, that's the Asr prayer. Whoever is able to perform these prayers in their time properly, the way they're supposed to be, then do so. Then do so. Then do so. And these two parts of the hadith are connected to each other. And we said here, in reference to this, discuss Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah's explanation of the relationship between salat and the ru'ya, seeing of Allah, in this hadith. Yani, what is the relationship between the mention of guarding the salat before the rising of the sun, before the setting of it? What is the relationship? Why is this mentioned after the mention of seeing Allah? Why? What is the relationship between these two parts of the hadith? Now,
said that these two prayers are from the two greatest acts.
These two prayers are from the two greatest acts that the people could do in this world.
And the greatest reward that the believers will get in Jannah will be seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the greatest reward that people will get in the Jannah will be the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, how are they connected? Somebody help us? Yeah. No.
It says that these two acts, the person who does them hopes that they see Allah and
go into
paradise.
No. The person who does them has hope that they will enter the paradise and to see Allah. Meaning that the highest reward that people will receive in the Jannah, a'la Shayyid Jannah, it is Ru'yatullah, seeing Allah. And the Ashraf al-Amal, the most noble of all deeds in this dunya, is these two prayers. So the person who guards these prayers should have hope because of that. This is the most noble of deeds that you can do in this dunya. So because of that, a person should have hope, the right to have hope, that they will be admitted into the Jannah, if they have done the most noble of deeds that there is in the dunya, they will be admitted into the Jannah, and the people who are admitted into Jannah will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something to reflect upon again. Yani the guarding of these two prayers, especially the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer, especially guarding these prayers is from the means that gives a person a right to have hope that they will be admitted into Jannah. A person is careful about these prayers. The Asr prayer in the middle of the day, and the Fajr prayer at the end of the night, when people don't want to get up and go to the masjid and pray in the jama'ah. For the men, anyway. Sisters still have to get up too. They don't have to go to the masjid. It's Allah's mercy and His favor. Tayyib. Question number 9. Memorize the final portion of the hadith of Atha ibn Sa'ib, including the words, sweetness of looking upon your face. Last part of the hadith. Naam. Ahmed. Yeah, last part of the dua, now. The part that mentions seeing the sweetness. I mean, the sweetness of looking at Allah.
Okay.
إلى وجهك
إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك.
نعم.
فراء مضرة ولا فتنة مضلة.
نعم.
اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين.
جيد. الزيادة الزيادة ما شاء الله. طيب what is the meaning of this?
Can I ask you? Can I ask you for the sweetness of looking at your face?
Looking at your face, the sweetness of looking at your face. And this is what I said to one of those brothers. And you don't believe that the believers will see Allah in your... Why is the Prophet ﷺ asking for this? I ask you for the sweetness of looking at your face. Why is the Prophet ﷺ asking for this? Naam. And what? وَالشَّوْكَ إِلَى لِقَائِكَ.
In a man that does not have any type of hardship.
Okay, what does it mean? وَالشَّوْكَ إِلَى لِقَائِكَ. Longing, yearning, and yearning in this world, having a longing. And while we're in this dunya, we should be yearning for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how can a person yearn to meet Allah knowing that they're going to be judged when they meet Him? Unless they have done something that they hope that will ease the judgment upon them. Naam.
And without a hardship
that harms. That, a hardship that harms. Or a trial that leads astray. Naam. Adorn us, yeah, with the sweetness of Iman and to make us hudatan muhtadeen. Those who are guided, yani those who guide others and are rightly guided. Naam. And the last question, we'll stop here and go into the topic for tonight, is mention five other important requests included in this tremendous dua of the Prophet ﷺ in English. Give me anything that you remember from the supplication that we asked for now. To be content after the qadha, after Allah has executed His decree, it has befallen you, to be content with it. Not before, but after. Before is easy, but after it befalls you, then what? Naam. Another one. Naam.
Keep me living as long as living is good for me.
As long as I'm doing some good deeds. Naam.
Keep me moderate in poverty and richness.
To be moderate, moderation, whether I have wealth or poverty. Naam. Another one?
Al-khashya fil ghayb wa shahada.
Yani to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public and in private. And in private. Naam. This is tremendous. Khashya. Naam. Sweetness of my eye will never be cut off. Now, that requires some explanation. Adam.
Say the truthful words.
Truthful words. When you're angry or when you're pleased. Now. Now. Fayyib. So there's at least more than 10 or 12 or 13 supplications. We're going to stop here, inshallah. This is a beautiful supplication. Whoever can learn the whole of it, just recite it sometimes. Open up the book and recite it. Or at least remember... وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَى وَجْهِكَ. At least remember that. Five, time is moving. Our topic tonight, as I said, is chapter number 8. This is our 7th session, but this is chapter number 8. ثَلَاثَ أَوْ ثَلَاثُ وَصَايَ نَبَوِيَّ عَظِيمَ. يعني 3 يعني advices. Tremendous, great prophetic advices. Advices from the Prophet ﷺ. Important, great advices. 3 of them. The first of them is immediately related to our topic and the other two are indirectly related. Okay, the Shaykh, he begins by saying, لَقَدْ جَمَعَ اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى لِنَبِيِّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَدِيعَ الْكَلِمْ وَجَوَامِ الْوَصَايَ وَأَكْمَلَ الْقَوْلُ وَأَتَمَّ وَأَحْسَنَهُ وَمِنْ كَانَ ذَا سِلَّةٍ وَثِيقَةٍ بِالسُّنَّةِ وَحَدِّي خَيْرُ الْإِبَادِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْهِ فَازَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْأُخْرَى فَازَ فِي دُنْيَاهُ وَأُخْرَاهُ. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered together, collected, Allah Jalla wa Ala has collected for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بَدِيعَ الْكَلَامِ, unique, amazing speech. Naam. وَجَوَامِ الْوَصَايَ, and comprehensive advices. And the most complete and perfect speech and the best of it. So whoever has a strong, solid connection to the sunnah. Huh? Not loose like we follow the Sunnah, I'm Sunni. No, strong, solid connection to the Sunnah means that you live by it. You act according to it. You speak by it. You believe in it. Whatever you say is from the Sunnah. That whenever you speak, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said in one place, in explanation of Aqeedah Wasatiyah, that the person who has this condition is, whenever they speak, whenever they act, whenever they do anything, they ask themselves, is this something that's pleasing to Allah or displeasing to Allah? Is this something in accordance with Allah's legislated or not? Is this in accordance with the Sunnah or not? They don't speak, they don't act, they don't do anything without examining what is its basis. So whoever has a solid, strong connection to the Sunnah and to the guidance of the best of all creation, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, then this person has indeed achieved success in his dunya and in his akhirah. In this world, in his worldly life, and in his life in the hereafter. And this is a yani, brief stop and reflection with an advice that is brief. Yani summary, a summarized advice. And a maw'idha baligha, yani an admonition that is far-reaching. Naam. And it is derived from our Prophet, our noble Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam. And it contains within it, it has gathered within it all that is good. And it has completed, yani, all that is good. In this advice from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's reported in the Musnad Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, and the Sunnah Ibn Majah, rahimahullah, and others besides them from the hadith of Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhu, anna rajulan jaa ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqala, عِذْنِي وَعَوْجِزْ. Yani a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, yani, advise me or admonish me and be brief in it. Or in a riwayah, عَلِّمْنِي وَعَوْجِزْ. Yani teach me but be brief. Get right to the point. What could be more beautiful than that? Teach me something that's easy for me to get. It's easy for me to remember. Simple, short, right to the point so I can get busy. A lot of philosophy and kalam, and you don't know at the end of it what you heard, or what you read, or what you saw, or what you're going to do with it. Teach me something, be brief though. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّي صَلَاةً مُوَدِّعًا. First advice. If you stand up in your salat, فَصَلِّي صَلَاةً مُوَدِّعًا, then pray the salat of one who is bidding farewell. The salat of one who was bidding farewell, was going away, never to return. وَلَا تَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْتَذِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. And don't speak with any speech that you will have to make an excuse for tomorrow. You will have to excuse yourself. I don't know why I said that. Give me some break. I didn't mean it, or something. Don't speak with anything that you have to make an excuse for tomorrow. وَأَجْمِعِ الْيَأْسَ مِمَّا فِي يَدَيْ النَّاسِ. And make firm resolve. يعني be decisive in your resolve to give up all hope of whatever is in the two hands of the people. Don't have any hope, any desire, any expectation of whatever is in the hands of the people. Don't want anything that the people have. Rather, whatever you want it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is the third advice. وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ بِمَا لَهُ مِنْ شَوَاهِدٍ. And this hadith is a hadith that's hasan, it's a good acceptable hadith due to the other narrations that bear witness to its correctness. And this tremendous hadith has collected within it three great advices that gather together, al-khayr kullahu, all good is contained within it. وَمَنْ فَهِمَهَا وَعَمِلَ بِهَا. وَمَنْ فَهِمَهَا وَعَمِلَ بِهَا. Man what? فَهِمَهَا. Whoever understood them, and that's not enough, وَعَمِلَ بِهَا, and then acted upon them. And this is really the key. Because a lot of times we learn, And we even understand, but then we don't act upon it. What is the benefit? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you, ماذا عمل بما علم? What did you do with that which you knew? From the questions that will be asked in Yawm al-Qiyamah, no person will go forward until they ask four or five questions. And from amongst them, the Prophet ﷺ said, what have you done with that which you came to know? With your knowledge. So whoever understands these advices and acts upon them.
Can you repeat the last one?
The last one what? I said that the Prophet ﷺ said that from the questions that people will ask on Yawm al-Qiyamah is, what have you done? What did you do with that which you came to know, your knowledge? What did you do with it? Did you act upon it or you just collected information? So here the Shaykh is saying, these three advices are beneficial only if a person first understands them and then follows that up with acting upon them. فَمَنْ فَهِمَهَا وَعَمِلَ بِهَا هَذَا الْخَيْرُ كُلَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ So whoever understands them and acts upon them, this person has obtained or attained or achieved all good in his dunya and in his ukhra, in this world, in his life of this world, and in the matters of the next life. The Shaykh here lists these three advices. Al-wasiyatul ula. The first advice is wasiyatun bis-salati wal-inayati biha. وَحُسْنُ أَدَائِهَا يعني it's an advice, يعني advising one concerning the salat and al-inaya biha and giving care to the salat. وَحُسْنُ أَدَائِهَا and performing it well. This is the first advice. Advice with your salat. Give care to it. and perform it well. يعني إذا قمت في صلاتك فصلي صلاة مودعين. If you stand up in your salat, then perform the salat of one bidding farewell. Second advice, wasiyatu thaniya. Second advice, wasiyatun bihifz al-lisan wa siyanatihi. And the second advice is what? To guard your tongue, protect and preserve your tongue. لا تتكلم بكلام تعتذر منه غدا. Don't speak with any speech that you're going to have to apologize or make an excuse for tomorrow. And the third advice, الوصية الثالثة, دعوة إلى القناعة وتعلق القلب بالله وحده. يعني, this is an invitation to be content, to be satisfied, and for the heart to be connected to Allah alone. يعني, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the third advice, he is calling us to be, to have contentment and satisfaction. And to have one's heart connected to Allah alone. To be content with what Allah has for you. In the way that He gives it to you. According to His guidelines and guidance and instruction. And have your heart connected to Allah alone. وَأَجْمِعْ الْيَأْسَ مِمَّا فِي يَدَيِ النَّاسِ يعني make firm resolve, a firm commitment, a decisive يعني commitment to giving up hope of whatever is in the hands of the people. As far as the first advice, the Shaykh says, يعني somewhat briefly, and it is of greatest importance. The first advice he said, in this advice the Prophet ﷺ has invited, he has called, the one who has stood up in his prayer, that is who has began to perform his prayer, that he performed the prayer of يعني صلاه مودع, the salat of one who is bidding farewell. And it is well known amongst all of the people that المودع, the one who is bidding farewell, يستقصي في الأقوال والأفعال ما لا يستقصي غيره. يعني that the one who is bidding farewell gets to the root, penetrates deeply to the root in his speech and in his actions in a way that no other person does. Yani somebody bidding farewell and going away, I mean that's a moment of what? Yani heart. Yani someone you love departing, never to return. That's a deep moment there. The person who's bidding farewell gets to the root, penetrates deeply in the matter, like nobody else does. The Shaykh says, and this is well known in the journeys of the people and their traveling to and from. So whoever travels from a land with hope of returning to it, yani a short journey to return, their affair is not like the affair of the person who travels with the intention of not returning. They are not the same. Somebody's going on a journey, but they intend to come back. Not like the one who's leaving with no intention to ever return again. That's different. So the one who is bidding farewell goes to the root, penetrates deeply in the affair like no other one does. Therefore, إِذَا صَلَّ فَإِذَا صَلَّ الْعَبْدُ صَلَاتَهُ مُسْتَحْضِرًا أَنَّهَا صَلَاتُهُ الْأَخِيرَةُ وَأَنَّهُ لَنْ يُصَلِّي غَيْرَهَا جَدَّ وَاجْتَهَدَ فِيهَا وَأَحْسَنَ فِي أَدَائِهَا وَأَتْقَنَ رُقُوَهَا وَسُجُودَهَا وَوَاجِبَاتِهَا وَمُسْتَحَبَّاتِهَا. For this reason, إِذَا صَلَّ الْعَبْدُ صَلَاتَهُ, يعني when an abd, a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, performs his salat, being yani mustahdiran, yani being fully conscious and aware, yani not daydreaming, sky gazing, conscious and fully aware. When the person is in salat and they are fully aware, annaha salatul akhirah, this is their last salat. This is the last salat. You're not going to get a chance to pray. Like the person getting ready to get executed, let me just pray two rak'ah. How is that prayer going to be prayed? Wallahi, if you was praying a salat and you know that's your last chance, khalas, you're going to pray the way we're supposed to pray every day. Huh? So if a person has this consciousness that this is his last prayer and that he is not going to pray another prayer after this, jadda wajtahada fiha, then he will be serious and he will strive earnestly in it. وَأَحْسَنَ فِي أَدَائِهَا, and he will يعني, be proficient in the performance of this prayer. وَأَطْقَنَ رُكُوعَهَا, and he will perfect its bowing and its prostration and its obligatory duties and those things that are mustahab, beloved in it, that are not obligatory. If a person what? Has this consciousness when he's praying, that this is the last prayer, he's not going to have another prayer after this one, جَدَّ وَاجْتَهَدَ فِيهَا, then he will be serious about it and he will strive within it and he will perform it with proficiency and he will perfect his ruku' and his sujood and the obligatory duties in it and those things that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside of the arkan and outside of the wajibat, those things which are sunan. He will even perfect and perform them well. For this reason, it is necessary and it is expected, it is befitting, يعني وَلِهَذَا يَنْبَغِي عَلَى عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. This is what is expected from the worshipper of Allah who is a believer. عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, the believing worshipper of Allah. The degrees of iman are different, so the people are going to be different. But the one who has iman, real iman, this is what is expected from him or her. أَنْ يَسْتَحْضِرْ هَذِهِ الْوَسِيَّةِ, that the person brings to mind consciousness this advice, fi kulli salatin yusalliha, in every salat that they perform, in every prayer that they perform. Yani yusalli salatuhu salatu muwaddin, that every salat that we perform, we should perform it like the prayer of the one who is bidding farewell. Yastashiru min khilali dhalika annaha salatul akhirah, where you consciously are aware of the fact while you're performing this prayer that it is like your last prayer. And that you will not pray another one after it. So if a person has this feeling, this will call him, it will invite him, it will urge him and motivate that person. Yani this consciousness, this awareness will motivate the person to the excellent performance of the prayer and the full perfection of the prayer. This will help tremendously. There's no doubt the prayer will be different. Wallahi, look at our prayers now. Look at our prayers now. Everyone look at their own self. Whoever is honest with their self, you have to be disappointed with yourself. You're standing in front of your Rabb. He is looking at you. He is listening to you. He is monitoring you. And he wants to reward you with good. But what are you offering? I need to be rewarded. What have you done when you stand in front of your Rabb, Rabbul Alameen? And you're looking around and thinking something and worried about other things. You're not even aware that you're standing in front of Rabbul Alameen. There's something wrong with that. That's the prayer that we want to get rid of. We don't want that prayer. So whoever does well in his salat, who performs it excellently, there are benefits. From amongst those benefits is that it will drive that person to every khair and fadila, to everything that is good and excellent, lofty, noble. And it will prevent him from kulli shar wa ravila, and it will prevent him from every evil and despicable, lowly act. Wa umiru qalbuhu bil iman, and his heart, yani, will be the life of his heart will be iman. Yani, his heart will be given life by iman. The heart will be enlivened by iman from this kind of what? Salat. This is one of the great benefits of this salat. Not only it will drive you to do good and it will prevent you from evil, but it will fill your heart with the life of iman. وَذَاقَ بِذَلِكَ تَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ وَحْلَاوَتِهِ. And in this way, the person will taste from this salat and this heart being filled with iman, it will taste the iman and its sweetness, the sweetness of iman. And finally, another benefit, وَكَانَتْ صَلَاتُهُ قُرَّةَ عَيْنٍ لَهُ. And his salat will be the قُرَّةَ عَيْنٍ لَهُ. Yani, will be his, yani, the thing that he finds comfort, pleasure, satisfaction, relaxation in. It will be the joy and happiness. His joy and happiness. وَرَاحَةً. And it will be a source of rest. وَأُنْسًا وَسَعَادَةً. And it will, yani, place him in a mood or in an environment of friendliness and happiness and good fortune. The good performance of salat. And there are so many benefits from salat. The Shaykh has just mentioned a few of them here. Yani, that salat prevents a person from evil and indecency. It also encourages and calls the person to do good. And it fills the heart with iman. Al-wasiyya thaniya. The second advice. Wasiyyatun bihifdh al-lisan. It is an advice to guard, to protect, to preserve your tongue. وَأَنَّ اللِّسَانَ أَخْطَرُ مَا يَكُونُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ. And that the tongue is the most dangerous thing to the human being. The most dangerous thing to the human being. وَأَنَّ الْكَلِمَةَ إِذَا لَمْ تَخْرُجْ فَإِنَّ صَاحِبَهُ يَمْلِكُهَا. And that a word, as long as it didn't come out of the mouth, then the person, يَمْلِكُهَا, the person will have control, mastery and dominance over that word. As long as he didn't speak it, as long as she didn't speak it, then you will possess it, you will control it. أَمَّا إِذَا خَرَجَتْ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ مَلَكَتْهُ وَتَحَمَّلْ تَبِعَتِهَا تَبِعَتِهَا. And but if the word comes out from the tongue, comes off of the tongue, then that word will now control you. It will master you. And you will be responsible. You will be carrying its consequences. Yani, as long as the word doesn't come out of your mouth, you are the master of it. But when it came out, it became the master of you. And then you will be bearing, suffering the consequences of that word. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْتَذِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. So don't speak with a word that you will apologize or make an excuse for tomorrow. That is, جَاهِدْ نَفْسَكَ عَلَى مَنِ لِسَانِكَ مِنْ كُلِّ كَلِمَةٍ تَخْشَى أَنْ تَعْتَذِرَ مِنْهَا. So strive against yourself to prevent your tongue from every word that you fear, you will have to make an excuse for it later. And every word that you will be called, yani, it will be the cause of you being called to account for, to make an excuse for. For indeed, whatever you didn't speak, yani, whatever word that you didn't say, then you control it. As far as when you have spoken it, then it controls you. Then it will control you. And here the Shaykh mentions the hadith, the great hadith of Mu'adh, is a long hadith, and he only mentions part of it. It's a tremendous hadith. Yani, in this advice of the Prophet, related to this second advice of the Prophet ﷺ, is the advice that he gave ﷺ to Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, in a long hadith in which Mu'adh asked him to teach me a deed that will keep me far away from the hellfire and admit me into the paradise. And in the end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, and after mentioning the abwab al-khair, the doors to good, and after mentioning, yani, other things, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Yani, what is the ra's al-amr? Yani, the head of the affair and the amud, yani the pillar of it and its pinnacle." After mentioning this, the Prophet in the end of this hadith said, "Ala ukhbiruka bi milaki dhalika kullihi?" Yani, after he had mentioned all of these things about salah and zakah and siyam and all good acts and things, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Shall I not inform you of that thing through which the whole affair is perfected and strengthened?" The thing that will strengthen all of this that has been mentioned before it, from salah and zakat and siyam and all types of good deeds, shall I not inform you of that thing? Bi malaki dhalika kulli, the thing that through which everything, every, all of these matters are perfected and strengthened. Kuntu bala ya Nabi Allah. Said, "Of course, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Fa akhadha bi lisanihi. So the Prophet ﷺ took hold of his tongue and he said, "Kuffa alayka hadha," restrain this. Yani, prevent this tongue from causing harm to you. Kuffa alayka hadha. Fakultu ya Nabiyullah, wa inna la mu'akhadhuna bima natakallamu bihi. Ya, O Prophet of Allah, will we actually be called to account by what we say? Will we be called to account just for what we speak? فَقَالَ ثَقُلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذِ. May your mother be bereaved of you. Yani, this is a supplication that he doesn't mean the literal meaning of it, but it shows the importance of the matter, that what you have said, this is, be careful. And this matter is grave, grave importance. May your mother be bereaved of you. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ saying, may your mother lose you. But he doesn't mean that. But he means this is a grave matter. Be careful what you're saying. وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, will the people be thrown down on their faces or on their noses into the fire except due to the harvest of their tongues? Yani, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he said, we'll be called to account for what we say. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, is there anything else due to which the people will be thrown down on their faces into the hellfire other than the harvest of their tongues? The harvest of their tongues. This is the most dangerous of matters. This hadith reported by Imam Ahmad al-Tirmidhi and Shaykh al-Bani and Sahih al-Jami al-Saghir said that the hadith is Sahih. Yani, this shows the danger of the tongue. This shows the danger of the tongue. Naam. So the tongue, it has some extreme danger. And it has also been reported in the hadith that's confirmed. Yani, from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ إِبْنُ عَادَمْ فَإِنَّ أَعْضَاعَ كُلَّهَا تُكَفِّرُ اللِّسَانَ فَتَقُولُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِينَا فَإِنَّمَا نَحْنُ بِكَ فَإِنْ اسْتَقَمْتَ اسْتَقَمْنَا وَإِنْ اَعْوَجَجْتَ اَعْوَجَجْنَا. Yani, that the human being, whenever they wake up in the morning, indeed the parts, the members of their body, all of them, to kafir al-lisan. Allahu a'lam, what is the murad of this expression here? But the meaning of it, what do we understand from it? Is that the parts, all the parts of the body will address the tongue and it will say to him, ittaqullah fina, fear Allah in reference to us. Have fear of Allah, this tongue is dangerous. For innama, we are with you. Yani, however you go, that's the way we go. So if you are upright, we will be upright. And if you are crooked, then we will be crooked. Yani, the parts of the body saying to the tongue, you are the cause of us being upright or going astray. Ittaqillah. Observe taqwa of Allah. This hadith reported by Imam Ahmad and al-Tirmidhi and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is Hassan and Sahih al-Jami. So the saying of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this comprehensive advice, do not speak with any speech that you will have to make an excuse for tomorrow. In it is the invitation or the call to take account of yourself. Muhasabatun nafs. Yani, in this advice is the invitation to muhasabatun nafs, to take account of yourself, to be accountable for yourself in what the human being says. taking account of yourself. That is, how do you take account of yourself? By reflecting upon what you say. Reflecting upon what you are thinking to say. So if you find it to be khair, then speak with it. And if you find it to be shar, evil, then refrain from it, from saying it. And if you find that what you are about to say is mushtabihan alayhi, yani it's not clear, there's some obscurity to it, and you don't know is it evil or is it good, then refrain from it. Huh? For the purpose of what? Protecting yourself from the shubuhat. As the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, that which halal is clear, and that which haram is clear, and between them is certain doubtful matters about which not many people know. So whoever protects himself from the doubtful matters, protect himself in reference to his honor and his deen. Whoever protects himself in reference to the doubtful matters, protects himself in reference to his honor and his deen. And whoever falls into the doubtful matters, falls into that which is haram, to the end of the hadith. So if it is unclear, you don't know if it's evil or good, refrain from it. And this is by what? By means of protecting yourself from the shubahat. Until it becomes, its affair becomes clear to you. And until it becomes clear, is it from good or is it from evil? And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhiri falyakul khayran aw liyasmut." Reported by Abu Hurairah, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. That whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him speak that which is good or remain silent. Let him speak that which is good or remain silent. And I just want to give us a benefit here that may not be new to us, but if it's not new to you, it's as a reminder. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, al-Imam Muhammad ibn Saad al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, he said, from the benefits of a hadith that he was discussing, he said, is that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes qila wa qala. Qila wa qala. People say gossip, but qila wa qala means it was said and he said. It was said by someone unnamed, or someone who is named, has said. It's in reference to gossip. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah dislikes qila wa qal. And for this reason it came in the hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, this very same hadith, the Shaykh mentioned it. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut. That whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then say, you must say, falyakul, then you must say khayr, that which is good, aw liyasmut, or you must. Aw liyasmut, lam al-amr, or you must remain silent. Huh? The Shaykh said, "Min kamali imanika," from the perfection of your iman, "Alla taqula illa khayran." From the perfection of your iman is that you do not say anything except that it's good, that Allah considers it good. Wal ajab, and the amazing thing, anna man kana hadha manhajahu fa innahu yaslam min shururin kathiratin. That whoever takes this as his manhaj, his manner of behavior, this is the way he normally acts, whoever takes this as a manhaj, you know what manhaj, right? Whoever makes this their manhaj, I don't know what manhaj you on, this is the manhaj of the Prophet, the manhaj of the mu'min. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, whoever takes this as his manhaj, then he will be safe from shururin kathiratin, from many evils. وَمَنْ كَثْرَ كَلَامُهُ كَثْرَ سَقَتُهُ. But whoever speaks a lot, he will have a lot of mistakes. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ قَلَّ كَلَامُهُ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ قَلَّ كَلَامُهُ وَكَانَ لَا يَتَكَلَّمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ. This is the manhaj of the mu'min. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ قَلَّ كَلَامُهُ, the one who speaks a little bit. وَكَانَ لَا يَتَكَلَّمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ. And when he speaks, he only says that which is khair. Huh? What is the manhaj of the mu'min? The one who he doesn't speak a lot. But when he does speak, he only says that which is khair. The Shaykh said, وَلَكِنْ مَنْ قَلَّ كَلَامُهُ وَكَانَ لَا يَتَكَلَّمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ فَهَذَا هُوَ الْمُؤْمِنُ وَهَذَا هُوَ السَّالِمُ. This is the believer. This is the one who is safe. Who makes his manhaj what? قَلَّ كَلَامُهُ وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ. He doesn't speak a lot. But when he does speak, He only speaks that which is good. I think this is a benefit. May Allah have mercy upon the Shaykh, rahmatan wasiya. Let's make this our minhaj. Allah, it's not an easy one. But if Allah gives us tawfiq, may Allah make us successful in following this minhaj. Naam. So the Shaykh, he mentioned this hadith here. And he said that many of the people, they have caused themselves to fall into many problems, all kind of difficulties and troubles, by a word that they speak on their tongue, that they didn't give any attention to it, and they didn't consider it to be of great importance. And then, based on that, as a consequence, there are many consequences that come as a result of that word in their worldly life and in the akhirah, that which the ending of it is not praiseworthy. The result of a word that they didn't pay attention to. So the aqil, the person who has sense, who has a mind, who has an intellect, wal aqil min an-nas man yazin kalamahu wa yasunu hadithahu. So the person who has intelligence, knowing this, is the person who weighs his speech and guards his talk. May Allah make us of those who weigh their speech and guard their talk. And he doesn't speak except as our Prophet ﷺ said, with speech that doesn't require an excuse for it later on. And his saying, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that he shouldn't speak except with speech that doesn't require an excuse tomorrow, has two possible meanings. The first of them, and the most important of them, is he doesn't have to make excuse for tomorrow means, عَنْدَمَا تَقِفْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ. Yani tomorrow when he stands in front of Allah on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, he won't have to make an excuse for what he said. Or the other possible meaning of making an excuse for tomorrow may mean, from the people when they call him to account for the consequences of his speech and his sayings. Yani that he said something, the people will call him to account for it. They may harm him, or they may punish him, or they may whatever. Huh? And that's another possibility, but the first meaning is the greater meaning. That don't speak with speech that you have to make an excuse on Yawm Al-Qiyamah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did you say that? And the Shaykh says, based on the first meaning, فَلَهُ تَعَلُّقْ عَظِيمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Based on the first meaning, then this advice also has a great connection to the salat. Since, with which excuse, what excuse will the person who abandoned his salat, who failed to give care to his salat, what excuse will he give to his Rabb ghadan, yani Yawm Al-Qiyamah? What excuse will he come with tomorrow? The person who what? Not just the person who said some words, but the person who abandoned his salat. What excuse will he bring on Yawm Al-Qiyamah in front of his Rabb? And this is the first thing that one will be asked about on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. The final advice that we want to close with, the third advice, Al-Wasiyya Thalitha, it contains an invitation to Al-Qana'a, yani being satisfied and content. وتعليق القلب بالله وحده, and that the heart be connected to Allah alone. This is the third advice. Being content with what Allah gives you. And that the heart be connected to Allah alone. The heart should not be connected to anything in this dunya or anyone in this dunya. وَلْيَأْسُ تَمَامًا مِمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, and that you give up all hope completely of whatever is in the hands of the people. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Salam alaikum." Wa ajmi'i al-ya'sa min ma fi yaday an-nas, and make firm resolve, yani decision, determination, to give up hope of whatever is in the hands of the people. Yani meaning, make your heart to be on the resolve, firm commitment. Determined in your heart to give up hope of whatever, of everything that is in the hands of the people. Don't have any hope for anything that the people have. So don't have any hope for it from their direction, coming from the people. But rather make your hope, all of it, to be in Allah alone, Jalla wa Ala. وكما أنك بلسان مقالك لا تسأل إلا الله. And in the same way that with your lisan maqalik, يعني with your tongue that's expressed by speech, the tongue that expresses يعني what is happening inside of you by speech, that's one kind of tongue. يعني just as with that tongue, your speech, you do not ask anyone. يعني you don't make dua to anybody other than Allah. When you make dua, you don't make dua to anybody other than Allah. So likewise, يعني and you don't request يعني your real needs. يعني you don't make dua to anyone other than Allah. So in the same way, it is incumbent upon you bilisani halik, يعني with the tongue that's not speech, but the tongue that expresses your feelings in your condition. يعني not your speech that tells somebody what you're thinking or how you're feeling, but your condition, your being, how you look, how you feel, how you conduct yourself. Likewise, don't let that express anything, request anything from anyone other than Allah. يعني don't even give the indication to someone that I'm in need. يعني you walk around looking like you're in poverty, like I'm really hungry. You didn't say it, but you look like that. So a person give you. Don't even do that. Rather, make your hope only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. يعني don't let your condition without speech express a need of anyone for anything that they have from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not have hope from anyone except Allah. Give up all hope from everyone except from Allah. So cut off the hope from all the people and let your hope be in Allah alone. And the salat, the Shaykh closes by saying, وَالصَّلَاةُ صِلَّةٌ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّكَ. And the salat, it is a connection between you and your Rabb. Yani if you want your heart to be connected to Allah alone, if you want your hope and desire and expectation and every anticipation to be from Allah alone, then the connection between you and Allah is through what? The salat. The salat. Naam. فَفِيهَا أَكْبَرُ عَوْنٍ لَكَ عَلَى تَحْقِيقِ هَذَا الْمَطْلَبِ. So indeed in the salat is the greatest help for you in achieving or realizing this request. Yani what? The request of having your heart to be connected to Allah alone. Indeed, the salat is the greatest help, the greatest thing that will help you to become connected to Allah, dependent on Allah, having hope in Allah, trust in Allah, faith in Allah, confidence in Allah, and no one other than Allah. It's by salat. Naam. The people whose salat is really for Allah alone, who really give themselves to their salat, wallahi, their life is different than the rest of the people in the earth. I'm talking about the Muslims. Forget about Kafirs, they don't have any connection to Allah. I'm talking about the Muslims. The people who don't have a connection to Allah is because of their salat. Because they haven't given themselves over to their salat. Yani if your connection to Allah is not good, and I think all of us, our connection is not good at this moment. If your connection is not good, it's because of your salat. That is the greatest help, the greatest thing that will connect you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever was hani, given up all hope of what is in the hands of the people, then they will live a life of honor and respect. And whoever had his heart be connected to what is in the hands of the people, then he will live a life of contempt, of humiliation and degradation. And whoever his heart was connected to Allah, and he doesn't have hope except from Allah, and he doesn't request his needs except from Allah, and he doesn't put his trust, depend upon anyone except Allah, كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي دُنْيَاهُ وَأُخْرَاهُ. Then Allah will suffice him in his worldly life and in his next life. Naam, Allah will suffice him. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. Isn't Allah sufficient for his abd? In Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 36th Ayat. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever puts their trust, dependence upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Surah At-Talaq, 65th Surah, 3rd Ayat. وَالتَّوْفِيقِ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And success in achieving all good, success is in the hand of Allah alone, without any partner. Nobody shares in that. There's no one that can give you success other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no one. No one shares in this. Nobody has any part in it. And I just want to take a couple of minutes. Yeah, I need to read to you a hadith that's related to the last point that the Shaykh made, that whoever puts their trust in Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice them. It is a great hadith that is very beloved to me, and it's from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, I heard our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من جعل الهموم هما واحدا. من جعل الهموم هما واحدا. Whoever made their humum, their concerns, their worries, whatever is yani important to them, they made it only one worry, one concern. Hamma akhiratihi. They made it the concern for his hereafter. Whoever made all of their concerns in the dunya, you have bills, you have family, somebody sick, all of this, you only have one concern. Man jala al-humum hamman wahida, hamma akhiratihi. He made his concern one concern, and that is the hereafter. Kafahu Allah, hammad dunyahu. Allah will suffice him his concerns for the dunya. Whatever it is in the world, Allah will take care of it. If you make your concern the hereafter, kafahu Allah, hammad dunyahu. Allah will suffice you in every need that you have in this dunya. وَمَنْ تَشَعَبَتْ بِهِ الْهُمُومِ فِي أَهْوَالِ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهِ فِي أَيِّ أَوْدِيَتِهَا حَلَكَةً. But whoever is divided and distracted by the concerns of the conditions of the dunya, the things in the world, then Allah is unconcerned about which one of those valleys that his heart is connected to. Concerns, worries of the dunya, Allah is unconcerned in which one of them he will be destroyed. Naam. And this is a promise from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever makes their concerns one concern, your concern from hereafter, Allah will suffice you your concerns of the dunya. And another hadith, and there are many, but another very important hadith related to the subject, and this one is the hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit. Shaykh al-Albani mentions in Sahih al-Jami' and Mishkat al-Musabih, من كانت حمه الآخرة. من كانت حمه الآخرة. That whoever's concern is the Akhirah, جمع الله له شملة. Then Allah will gather together and unite all of his affairs and his efforts. وجعل غناه في قلبه. And Allah will make his contentment and satisfaction in his heart. He won't have to worry about being content and satisfied with food and money and whatever. Rather, غِنَاهُ, his wealth, his richness, his satisfaction, his contentment will be in his heart. Will be in his heart. And listen to this. وَأَتَتُهُ الدُّنْيَا رَاغِمَةً. And the dunya will come to him رَاغِمَةً. Even reluctantly. It doesn't want to come. It will come anyway. Huh? مَنْ كَانَتْ حَمَّهُ الْآخِرَةِ. Whoever his concern is the Akhirah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather his affairs, and Allah will make his contentment in his heart, and the dunya will come to him, raghimatan, even if it doesn't want to come. Allah will make that happen. And the opposite, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ حَمَّهُ الدُّنْيَا. But whoever's concern is the dunya, yani how am I get another job, how am I make some more money, how am I get this car, how am I get this house, how am I buy some clothes, how am I get this, that, and the other. That's your only concern? مَنْ كَانَتْ حَمَّهُ الدُّنْيَا. فَرَّقُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرًا. Allah will divide up and scatter his affair. Will scatter his affair in confusion, in chaos. وَجَعَلَ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. And Allah will make his faqr, his poverty, his need, always in front of his two eyes. Huh? Did anybody experience this before Islam? For sure. And Allah will make his faqr بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. In front of his eyes, you always be in need of this, that, and the other. Always want something and the other and something else. Will never be contented. فَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُهُ وَجَعَلَ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَأَتِيهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And nothing will come to him of the dunya except what Allah has already written for him. Now he can get nothing extra. وَلَمْ يَأْتِي مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ except what is already written. And I know we went over time, but I'm going to start with this last hadith. I'll just read part of it. Yani hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says that the angel Jibril came to him and yani revealed to him some revelation. And he said to him in this hadith, I don't know, I should have marked it here, but in any case, yani the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ نَفْسًا لَن تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَقْمِلَ رِزْقَهُ إِنَّ نَفْسًا لَن تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَقْمِلَ رِزْقَهُ that no soul will die until whatever rizq has been recorded, written, decreed for them, until it's completed. تَسْتَقْمِلَ رِزْقَهُ it complete, perfection, all of it will be given to them. أَلَا فَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ so fear Allah. وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ and in your requesting the dunya, be good in it. Do it right. يعني من الحلال لا من الحرام. Be careful where you seek your sustenance from. Because for sure, you will not leave here until whatever has been written for you will be given to you. So seek it from that which is halal, not from that which is haram. Seek it in the way that's pleasing to Allah, not in the way that's displeasing to Allah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.